I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. This is a safe space. If you're an independent thinker out there, this is a place for you. We do no partisanship here. I've got some white pill stuff today. And if you are familiar, a lot of us assume that everybody understands the red pill, black pill. Now for cryptocurrencies, there's an orange pill. The white pill is actually the cause for optimism. It's the optimistic view of things. And I was doing some searching some financial stuff on Twitter and ran across a thread that I'm going to read a good chunk of, and I think it's extremely interesting, particularly in light of the Buffalo shooter. We'll get to that at some point in the show today, too, as we see another event that is destined to divide and create a bunch of hostility between average people in the streets, which certainly seems to be the way they want it to go. We've got COVID. We've got Russia. We've got vaccines, we've got the abortion ruling, and now we've got a supposed white supremacist out there shooting black victims. I don't know really what all we can take. What other divisions between us can be exploited at this point to get us really at each other's throats? Anyway, I'm going to get to some of this Twitter thing. As you see, what I have been explaining to people really is that there's a lot of people on the left that they've left the Democratic Party. And I highlight these things because I think it's incredibly short-sighted of people on the right to constantly just call anybody who's ever voted for a Democrat a demon. And you need to get rid of them all. You're ready for the Civil War, whatever it is. It takes a little bit of patience sometimes, but there's a lot of sane people out there. Anyways, I think it's a bit of a white pill moment to have a little bit of cause for optimism that most of the country has not lost its mind. It is just really a very, very loud minority, and I think that's lost on a lot of us. I can fall prey to this as well as we see some of the craziness that's going on around us. We'll get into quotes of the day today. This is some of these are basically meme tweets type things. Someone living in their mom's basement used to be the butt of the joke. But the rental market is so insane that now it's like, damn, you got a whole basement to yourself? That's sexy. I like this one. This was just a meme. It's put out. It said, paying taxes in America is like having an indefinite car payment on a car that won't run. And then there was this one I ran across. Not so much a meme as just a quote, but I did find it posted somewhere. And I cite this based on what I heard and talked about last week, which was a lot of conservative commentators going out and reading the law that showed that you cannot go out and protest anywhere near a judge. If there's a judge, if they've got that robe, that cloak of invincibility, that you cannot go out there. And so everybody on the right wanted to see all of the protesters on the abortion issue locked up because they're breaking a law. Law and order suddenly became very important again. Here's the First Amendment, and I'm just really curious as to where the exception is for judges who make decisions. They are part of the government. At just about every level, we've got judges at levels of the county government, the city governments, the federal government, the state governments. These judges are agents of the government. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Congress shall make no law respecting, let me just cut that out there. Congress shall make no law prohibiting the right of people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. I just find, I read that, it's kind of like the Second Amendment. There's no wiggle room on the Second Amendment. You cannot interfere in someone's right to own a gun. It seems pretty cut and dry. The First Amendment seems equally cut and dry. I just want to remind people on the right in the eagerness with which I saw conservative commentators say they wanted to jail everybody who was protesting a judge, and I would imagine if the judges were ruling in a different way, conservatives would certainly get out and protest them as well. So I just say that. I'm always on some level of hypocrisy alert. But again, Congress has created a law, apparently, that makes judges sacrosanct and they're not able to be protested. I think that that's just wrong. Obviously, you cannot do violence. You cannot threaten somebody. You cannot intimidate somebody. You cannot damage or vandalize their property. Those are all separate crimes that are the same with a business or anybody else. You cannot be aggressive towards someone else, harm them financially or physically. But as far as peaceful protests, as long as they are peaceful protests, then I'm not sure what the big outrage is about them doing it to judges. If they can do it to politicians, they can do it to business people, and they can do it to you as an individual, why is the judge so sacrosanct? Also ran across this. I'll go ahead and touch on this right now. There was a good tweet. I spent a little bit of time on Twitter this weekend because I found this thread of that I'll get to in a little bit here. But I ran across that. Sometimes everybody knows how Twitter works, I guess, if you do Twitter. I don't know if I've ever posted anything to Twitter before, and I'm not a social media guy, but I do find myself on Twitter feeds, and I do follow several people there because I'll get good videos and sound clips and quotes. It's a pretty decent source of news for me. But I ran across this really good tweet by Donald Trump Jr. Now, Rand Paul last week made news because he stood in the gap and delayed a vote on this $40 billion going to Ukraine. And Rand Paul's stated purpose was he was not going to just sit there and rubber stamp this huge aid package to Ukraine, this giant money laundering operation, without an inspector general put in to make sure that somehow it was tracked as to how the money was spent. Now, I have very little confidence that an inspector general does anything really of any value that makes any difference to anybody. And maybe it's a nuisance to the people who are laundering money, but that would be about it from what I can tell. But at least Rand Paul, knowing he couldn't stop this legislation because Republicans and 100% of Democrats are for sending tens of billions of dollars halfway around the world to a Nazi government. For some strange reason, that's where we find ourselves. So Rand Paul stood in the gap. Donald Trump Jr. came to his defense. He said Rand Paul simply wanted an inspector general to oversee how $40 billion of your taxpayer dollars are being spent in Ukraine, and the swamp went nuts. They don't want transparency because it's one giant kickback to their friends and big war. I hope you're awake and watching. Now, that's a decent, I think I agree with just about everything Donald Trump Jr. Tweeted there. It would just kind of struck me as a little odd. Donald Trump Jr.'s father, Donald J. Trump, funneled trillions of dollars to the Pentagon. And this is an organization that spent over $1 billion of taxpayer dollars. I think it was either $1.3 or $1.6 billion to conduct an audit on the Pentagon, and it couldn't pass. The results of the audit were completely inconclusive anyway. The Pentagon itself will admit to somewhere between $7 and $21 trillion missing. They cannot account for any of the transactions. There's no transparency whatsoever to what goes on to the Pentagon. And Donald Trump lobbied and went out and got great applause for funneling more and more and more and more and more money to this unauditable financial train wreck that is our Pentagon. Donald Trump Jr.'s father, Donald Trump, the president, also signed spending bills on COVID that resulted in probably the largest amount of fraud and waste in the history of the United States. There have been endless stories written about the massive fraud. You had taxpayer dollars going to some guys buying a Lambo. There were people that raked in millions of dollars through fraudulent claims on COVID. There was no transparency on that whatsoever. There was no accountability on any of it. A few people have gone to jail, but possibly very few. But the American taxpayer, most likely our children and grandchildren, are on the hook for one of the most abused spending bills in the history of this country. And when Thomas Massey, Donald Trump Jr.'s dad, Donald Trump, when Thomas Massey simply forced a vote on these enormous COVID spending bills, one of them was over $2 trillion, and Thomas Massey said, we need to all show up for work and cast this vote. Everybody needs to go on record. This does not need to be a $2 trillion unanimous consent bill. This is what Donald Trump, the president, tweeted out. Quote, looks like a third-rate grandstander named Representative Thomas Massey, a congressman from, unfortunately, a truly great state, Kentucky, wants to vote against the new Save Our Workers bill in Congress. So this is Donald Trump calling Representative Massey, who wanted to bring Congress critters back to Congress to actually force a vote on $2 trillion of spending. Donald Trump called him a third-rate grandstander. Trump also tweeted out, win back House, but throw Massey out of the Republican Party. So I liked this tweet from Donald Trump Jr., who was pointing out, rightfully, that Rand Paul is asking for some level of accountability. If he can't stop by himself, he can't stop us from spending $40 billion with the Nazi government of Ukraine. He could at least get somebody with some eyeballs on the money, possibly. And Donald Trump Jr. was right to point this out. This is the trick of partisan politics, is you get to pick and choose what you highlight and you leave out a lot of other very inconvenient facts. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, rubber stamped endless amounts of money to the Pentagon with absolute lack of any level of accountability or scrutiny. Ditto for COVID, and when somebody, Thomas Massey, another Republican from Kentucky, just like Rand Paul, stood up against it, Donald Trump said he was a third-rate grandstander and wanted him run out of the Republican Party. Now, Trump has now come out and endorsed Thomas Massey. Why? Well, because Massey's very popular, and he's not going to be beat. But if Donald Trump had any real understanding or concern about the Constitution, he never would have demanded that Thomas Massey be run out of Congress and kicked out of the GOP. And this is a bit of what I see as the kind of hucksterism of the Trump family, where they point out things that are politically popular right now. Donald Trump Jr. knows that his fan base is not down with sending $40 billion to Ukraine, so he jumps on the side of that. Unfortunately, the Trump record on spending trillions of dollars with complete lack of any accountability or transparency is pretty horrific, so no one else will say it. I'll say it here. Be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
All right, I'm going to get into a little bit of financial stuff as we kind of chronicle what we're seeing in markets and the U.S. economy right now, as I believe we are on the precipice, and I want to make sure I'm properly narrating each step of the way, see where we're headed here. But I wanted to bring this up, too. There was a tweet out by Fareed Jalali. He's a medical doctor. And you know he's a good establishment medical doctor because his little Twitter picture has got him in a big face mask. It looks like an N95. He's got the metal on the nose, so you really can't see his face. It's just glasses and mask on a face, so you know he's one of these reputable doctors that the CDC loves, and he takes his orders from the CDC. I mean, if you're a free-thinking doctor, I'm just going to say you don't have your Twitter profile picture doesn't have you in a giant mask. But here's the tweet that he sent out. To borrow an infamous phrase, I don't know how to put this in a half-acceptable way. Here's what he says. New Omicron, I call it the Omnicon, but new Omicron variants are actively killing vaccinated and recently boosted 60 to 70-year-olds with very average comorbidities as we speak. It's a bog-standard medical reality in our hospitals. Now, I had to look up bog-standard. I don't think I've ever heard that term before. Bog standard is a well-known informal term which originated in Britain. It means something ordinary or basic. Basically, it's just another way of saying this is just the fact of what we're seeing. Listen to what this doctor says. New Omicron variants are actively killing vaccinated and recently boosted 60 to 70-year-olds with very average comorbidities as we speak. It's a bog-standard medical reality in our hospitals. Huh. Isn't that interesting? As we see, these vaccines still hailed even by the people who keep catching these things. We look at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Everybody vaccinated, boosted, and they turned out it was a super spreader event. And each one of them is coming out and saying, yes, I've got COVID. We all got COVID, but thank God we got the vaccine because it could have been so much worse. Well, this doctor, who is a boots-on-the-ground guy, and as I say, he looks like an establishment fella, judging by his face mask profile picture, he's saying it is just a fact of life and death in his hospital and other hospitals as well, that these people, these 60 to 70-year-olds, fully vaccinated and boosted, are dying of COVID, and they've got just average comorbidities, not really sick people in the first place. That should be cause for alarm, I would imagine, that a lot of doctors are seeing this. They're staying silent. Financial stuff here. This was an interesting statistic. The NASDAQ, the tech markets here in the United States, have obviously seen quite a swoon lately. It may have been the worst performance of the NASDAQ ever, maybe to start a year. I'm not sure. It's a pretty bad slump in our tech stocks. But to put it in context, this was kind of interesting. In the dot-com bubble, this was the big, if you remember, the internet bubble, when the internet was just coming up and everybody was buying pets.com at 500 times multiples. Some of these companies never made any money, but just the promise of them leading the charge in the internet meant they were going to be a home run, so people bid up these stocks. We remember the dot-com crash. During the dot-com bubble, tech stocks lost $4.6 trillion in value when the market crashed. In context, during the global financial crisis, tech stocks only lost $2.3 trillion. Now, the COVID sell-off, if you remember that short, brief, 3-week period before the Fed went in and started just set the printing machine humming and started printing up a bunch of money and floating it out into Wall Street, into Main Street, to every nook and cranny of our economy. During the COVID-19 sell-off over just the course of a few weeks, tech stocks lost $4.4 trillion. This current decline in tech stocks, the value lost this time, $7.6 trillion. So the dot-com bubble was $4.6 trillion. The current decline is $7.6 trillion. That's how severe the losses have been in this latest tech meltdown. Also ran across this math that I thought was kind of interesting. You know, I keep looking at housing. It feels to me like we're in a housing bubble, but I am assured by people I've talked to, builders, I've talked to other people where they explain, you know, the cost of building a new house because materials have gone so far up that other home prices are going to maintain their levels. I can't quite get my mind around that, but this was some interesting math here. See if I can do this on the air where it makes sense. It's pretty succinct. In January of 2021, the 30-year mortgage rate was 2.65%, and the average new home price in the U.S. was $401,700. So in January of 2021, what was that, 15, 16 months ago? 30-year mortgage rate was 2.65%. Average home price was around $400,000. Today, the 30-year mortgage rate is 5.3%, more than double what it was before, and the average new home price is $523,900. The average wage in the United States is, I believe, $50,000, something like $53,000. Now we've got homes that are trading at 10 times the average American income. I can't see how that sustains itself. But they break this down even more. Assuming a 20% down payment, that's an 80% increase in the monthly payment. 80% increase in the monthly payment for people trying to buy a house now, a similar house the average house in the United States. And obviously, we're kind of comfortable here in the central Mississippi. I can't imagine selling a modest home in California and realizing you can come to Mississippi and buy one of the nicest homes around because the values are different. So I'm sure our median home price, our average new home price here is not $523,000. But when you look at the at it nationally, mortgage payments have gone up by 80% over just the last 15 to 16 months. There is just, in my mind, absolutely no way we can maintain that. This has got to be the mother of all housing bubbles. I also wanted to play one clip. There was a libertarian roundtable on valuetainment. You can find this. I think it's on YouTube, and they may do a podcast as well. I thought it was pretty good. Larry Sharp, a libertarian that's run for governor of New York, is on there. And comedian Dave Smith, I played a clip from this last week, but he's got some pretty good sound bites in this interview. Dave Smith being very active in libertarian politics, but again, sometimes I have to go I have to go find my my reinforcements wherever I can find them. This is Dave Smith talking. They're actually talking about Bitcoin. Now, I am still straddling a fence on Bitcoin. As a libertarian, I love it. I love the idea of a decentralized, non-government currency. On the other side, I live in complete, it's not really fear because I don't have my life based on it, but I'm just very suspicious that the government can come in with one fell swoop and just knock out Bitcoin, take it over, spy on it, track it, trace it, take all of the great things about Bitcoin and destroy them at the government level because our government is all powerful at this point. So I'm a cheerleader for Bitcoin, but I see huge problems. I could be completely wrong, and I hope actually I am. It'd be nice to know there would be an escape hatch from the U.S. dollar at some point if it collapses. So they're talking about Bitcoin, but Dave Smith makes some great points in this just about our financial system and the way our government controls money right now.
Illegal. Yep. I would also say just to the idea of cryptocurrency and specifically Bitcoin that libertarians have to recognize how important this issue is, because this to me is like the most important thing in the same sense that hundreds of years ago, you know, the separation of church and state was the most important thing that really ended religious wars. You really don't have religious wars anymore unless there's governments who are, you know, in bed with religions who are trying to impose themselves on other governments. And what we need today in the United States of America more than anything is the separation of money and the state, the separation of banking and the state. This is the cause of so many of our problems right now, is that the currency is controlled by the government. This allows us to spend way beyond our means, to pull things off that we could never pull off if the government wasn't just printing money out of thin air. The entire idea that we're going to go around and, you know, occupy foreign countries for 20 years in the Middle East with nothing to show for it. Try doing that if you had to actually tax the people, the money. Try gaining popular support for that if every month people had to pay for the war in Afghanistan. That thing would have been over by Christmas of 2001. And so many of these things. And the same thing with the lockdowns. I mean, try maintaining the lockdowns if you couldn't just print up trillions of dollars in 2020. There's no way it could have been done. So this is really like the Federal Reserve and the money printing is the lifeblood of the Leviathan. That's what we need to attack. And that's why Bitcoin is such an incredible, you know, like, has so much potential. People should be libertarians.
Wasn't that the whole?
Yeah, that's just another way of saying what I've been saying for quite some time. The Federal Reserve, the money printing, is the Death Star. If you want to tackle so many of the problems that the right has, even that the left has, people would be so much happier if you could not fund the endless wars, the warfare state, the welfare state. The Federal Reserve is the Death Star. I'm cheering for Bitcoin. I just am very suspicious that the government is going to somehow take it down and derail it or track and trace it and make its utility much, much harder than it is right now. We'll see. I hope I'm
wrong. Arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. This is a different show, very, very different show. I am somebody who's, you know, I'd probably be accused of some kumbaya stuff. I think you should approach the people on the left. I think there are lots of well-intentioned Democrats. I think they have some pretty big blind spots economically, I would say. That would probably be where my biggest thing is. But I'm going to do some white pill stuff. Probably be the beginning of next hour, next segment. I want to talk a little bit about this Buffalo shooter and something to watch out for when it comes to that. But one of the things that I keep making the point of is that it doesn't matter if you're black or white, Republican or Democrat, old or young, the government is not your friend. And so fighting over trying to get control of this entity at just about every level is really, it's short-sighted. And we know the cycle. One side votes, their side gets in, they give them unlimited power, then it shifts to the other side because everybody becomes, you know, they realize that the party in power is just a disgusting, evil failure. And so we switch back to the other side. And then you give your, now your side has control, you give them a bunch of new power, and then you're shocked when it transitions back and they use that power against you even more. I mean, this is how we ratchet this thing up. It's just step by step by step. One step with the left foot, the government gets bigger. You get mad at that, so you use the right foot. It goes up another step. Meanwhile, the people are crushed. And I didn't know if I'd even have time for this, but kind of talking about some economic issues. This was just really a sick story. And I don't know the political affiliation of any of these people, but I would imagine a lot of the people that you're going to hear protesting are black. Probably not Republicans. Are probably not MAGA people, but who knows? Who knows? But this is just a story of what government can do. This is a further explanation of why Mike Madison's a libertarian and does not approve of government basically at any level.
He told me, I'll take your money and take your house too.
Did you know that some towns in America are basically stealing people's homes?
One missed property tax payment and the government can take your home, sell it, and keep all of the profits.
I'm just still in shock.
Tawanda Hall was behind on her property taxes. She was on a payment plan, but she'd missed $900. She didn't expect to lose her entire $300,000 home.
They took my whole house, my whole family's livelihood.
And they didn't give you change. They kept it all. $286,000 more than what she owed. The county's lawyer says this practice may sound unfair.
But it's also unfair to force those who pay their taxes to subsidize those who don't.
I pay taxes.
She's a nurse assistant.
I'm on a brain trauma unit. I lift people. I bathe people. I work hard.
When she found out she was going to lose her home, she wanted to pay off the debt.
I went to the mayor's office. I went down to the city county building. They didn't want our money. They said no.
They wanted your house.
They
wanted $300,000 house rather than your tax payment.
They stole our home from us and from our family, and it was a shock to all of us.
Why isn't this illegal?
I think it is illegal. I think it's unconstitutional.
Christina Martin of the Pacific Legal Foundation.
The government can't take more than it's owed.
This is unjust and it is unconstitutional.
Martin won a similar case in Michigan's Supreme Court when a county took an entire home.
Over, get this, an $8 debt.
The government argued.
There couldn't be anything more fair than informing property owners of what is going to happen, giving them time to act, and then letting them make an informed choice.
Do you think if he knew he owed $8, he would have paid it? Of course. He didn't know, and there wasn't a proper incentive to let him know.
So the government has an incentive to notify them in legalese so they can't understand it?
Yes, and then they also have an incentive not to work with people when they are honestly trying to pay, like Tawanda Hall.
We did not receive anything other than get out.
Despite that Supreme Court ruling, a judge dismissed Tawanda's case because the government itself in her case did not make a profit. The town gave her home to this private company. It got the money.
The government shouldn't be able to steal from its own people and then to give it over to their friends.
That is the whole basis of government, is to steal from the people and give it to their friends. That's the system in a nutshell. Matter of fact, I'm going to steal that. I can't think of a better description of what government is. You just sent $40 billion of U.S. taxpayer dollars to the defense contractors who contribute to political candidates who made the decision to give them $40 billion to provide weapons to send over to Ukraine. Or to NGOs that are in bed with our government. This is government in a nutshell. Stealing from its citizens to give that money to their friends.
How do you know that they're their friends?
The company is literally run by the mayor and the city administrator.
Southfield Mayor Ken Seiber acknowledges the company made $10 million selling foreclosed houses.
The mayor, Seiber, I told him if I bring the money in today, could I get my property back? He told me point blankly, no, if you bring the money in, I'll take your money and take your house too.
I wanted to ask him if he personally profited, but he wouldn't agree to an interview.
I didn't think I was going to lose my house over $3,900.
It's kind of crazy to find out how common this is in 11 states. Local governments, if you're behind on your taxes, can grab your home and keep much more than what you owed.
Some guy comes in and says, how long will it take for you to get out?
We have a client who's sleeping in her car right now. The city took her property, turned around and sold it within days of evicting her for $242,000.
You have gotten three states to stop doing this.
Yes, we're asking the government to stop stealing people's life savings.
Good. It often destroys lives. After Tawanda's home was taken, her husband did construction work to try to recover their losses. He got sick, but then kept working. He died shortly after.
It was terrible just to know that he struggled trying to make it right.
So that's a John Stossel report. It's called Stealing Homes, if you want to look at it. But boy, that's our system in a nutshell to me. It's essentially the government stealing from the people and giving it to their friends. And the problem is, it doesn't matter. I looked at the list of states there that can do this. They're blue states, they're red states. We've had a country that is run on civil asset forfeiture, where a police officer can pull you over for a broken taillight and find $6,000 of cash in your car, and they tell you, you don't need that kind of money. You must be doing something illegal, and they'll just take this cash from you. Do you understand the bandits that we have put into office, like, just basically across the spectrum, everywhere from city to county to state to federal positions? This is the mafia. This is the mafia that we are now living under. That is just a disgusting story. Poor guy goes out trying to right the ship. They lost $250,000. Doesn't sound like they had it if she missed a $900 payment. And he dies trying to work himself to death, trying to get it back. This is my point. This is white, black, Republican, Democrat, older, younger, doesn't matter. You're all being abused by exactly the same people, yet you just can't seem to. Can't quite break the tribe mentality. I'll be right back.
I like the French braids in your hair.
So I ran across this Twitter thread I'll get to next hour that I've post as well. This is a bit of a white pill moment to kind of show you that there's probably more sane people in this country than we'd like to believe, because we're really led to believe, whichever side you're on, that the other side is just a bunch of, you know, Nazis or freaks. It just doesn't matter. If you vote a particular way, if you support a particular candidate, you must just be an absolutely horrible person. I can't have you over for Thanksgiving dinner anymore. I don't care that you've been a cousin that I've enjoyed spending time with. I found out who you voted for, and now I can't have anything to do with you, because we're an insane people. We're really, really weird and so easily manipulated. So we'll talk next hour about this white pill moment. But as I'm this weekend, you know, putting this together and going, wow, look at this. This is interesting to me to see these people realizing they've been completely abandoned by the Democratic Party and the left. There's a lot of them out there, and I've got really actually a lot of people who weighed in on this topic on Twitter. But I get to this white pill moment. The next thing I know, we've got this nut job shooting up a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. Now, I'll tell you, I saw a video of this thing. Some kid showed me, and it looked like a video game. I was watching it on a small screen on a telephone. I don't know. I need to see it again. I've not seen links to this anywhere else since then. If it's real, it's horrific, and you probably would be well not to watch it. It is so disturbing, but it may have just been so surreal. It looked like a video game to me, like a manipulated video game to me. Now, I'm not saying that this event didn't happen. It's too early in this to know exactly what's going on, but we know what the narrative's going to be. It's going to be the dangerous gun, and it's going to be white supremacy is the biggest problem the United States faces, because that's the narrative that they've been trying to drive for a while. Isn't this very convenient how this pops up? The guy apparently cut and pasted the manifesto of the Christchurch killer down in, was that New Zealand, I believe? I don't know if he made any changes to it or not, but apparently a lot of it was very similar to that. I haven't done a whole lot of research deep dive on this, but I've been kind of looking. I'll tell you the one thing I'm looking for, though. And it usually takes a couple of weeks for this to come out as they start to investigate the shooter. But I'm just going to say it because there's about a 95 to 99% chance that I'll be right. Was this kid on some level of psychotropic drugs? Now, he had had some troubled history, apparently had been suspended for school or gotten into trouble for threatening a mass violence event at a graduation or something at school. At one point, they said for a week he wore a hazmat suit into classes. There was obviously some mental problems with this kid, but what people don't seem to realize or care about, and the media certainly won't cover it, is that just about every single one of these kids that has ever done a mass shooting event has been on some antipsychotic, antidepressant drug. And these things hijack these kids' brains. I'm not excusing this horrific thing, and obviously, if what we're being told is true, and boy, isn't that a big caveat these days. You almost just don't know whether you can trust a single word about this thing, whether it happened the way they said it, if the video is real. I mean, it's just across the board. You need to be completely suspicious. But if they say it happened the way it happened and this guy had some white supremacist belief, had fallen in with some people on 4chan and been tricked into this stuff, these drugs make these kids' minds like mush. Even to accept ideologies that would be just bizarre and violent. I cannot overstate the danger to these kids and our society that has been unleashed by these medications, and I've pointed it out over and over again. Now, there's a possibility, probably about a 1% to 5% chance I'm wrong on this issue, and this is one of the few mass shooters that was not on some antidepressant, antipsychotic pharmaceutical. Because damn near every single one of them have been on these drugs. And most people do not know this because it is never covered by the news. And why? Anyone? Anyone? Because Big Pharma controls our media, controls our politicians. I've told you many times, we can solve gun violence in this country fairly easily. I'm going to add one thing to it. The first thing you do is you get these kids off of these psychotropic drugs that even say in their warning labels may cause, you know, suicidal tendencies, suicide ideation, violent mass killing ideas. And they say this in their own disclaimers on their drugs. These things short circuit the human brain and cause these kids to do absolutely horrific things. Our own Luke Woodham and Pearl was on, I believe, Prozac. And if you notice, these shootings are a fairly new phenomenon, only a few decades old, and they arrived about the same time that doctors decided it was great for a moody teenager, which with puberty and everything else is just a teenager, and they've decided to try to medicate that teenager to get him out of the gloomies. And they put these kids on these drugs. It will take a couple of weeks for us to figure out if this is exactly what it is. But, you know, I've also looked at this, you know, and it is absolutely horrific. If this guy went in there and killed 10 people, and the videos to be believed, he did it in an absolutely horrific, horrific way. And that is certainly a tragic event for the families there. And it's terrifying to everybody because it does put this fear into our mind, even though your chances of being at the wrong end of this thing are extremely small. But if we really want to get rid of the serial killers in our country, we could pull all of the warmongers out of Congress by their hair and lock them up. We could put every president since JFK on trial for war crimes. We could arrest Anthony Fauci and the rest of the COVID cult leaders who have killed hundreds of thousands of people with their policies and their deadly chemicals between remdesivir and the shots. I mean, this is a horrific thing to think that somebody went out on a spring day and cut down 10 people in a row. It's absolutely a horrific headline-grabbing thing. But when you look behind the scenes, at the policies and the politicians that are responsible for multiples of these deaths. And look at the FDA and the CDC. They sign off on drugs, on pharmaceuticals that kill around 200,000 people per year, year in and year out. If we want to save, if we believe every human life is valuable in our society, maybe we should look at them. In order to have the kill count that the FDA, the CDC, and Big Pharma has, we'd have to have 55 Buffalo shooters per day all year to rack up the body count of what Big Pharma does on an annual basis. Around 200,000 people killed by properly prescribed, properly taken pharmaceuticals. And I suspect there's a connection between those properly prescribed, properly taken pharmaceuticals and this event, these 10 people. As I say, it'll take a couple of weeks. Somebody will get to the bottom of it, find out he was under psychiatric care.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me today. Looking at the financial stuff, one story I'd left out. There's a lot of similarities between what's happening right now in the 1970s. People are using the term stagflation again, which means high inflation with a slowing, stagnant economy. And people are pointing to that, and the word stagflation is being used. I almost hope we repeat the 1970s. It might be our best case scenario at this point. The problem is that the Federal Reserve, at the end of the 1970s and into the early 80s, they did what it took to tamp down the inflation. Our Federal Reserve has no intention or ability to do that now. So what we're going to see, I believe, is going to be dramatically worse than the 1970s. And then this weekend, I see this story. Have you ever heard of a Haboob? H-A-B-O-O-B? Stop giggling. I didn't say it that way. I'm just saying this is this huge dust storm. We're basically now seeing a dust bowl, too. So the thoughts of the 1930s seem to kind of come to mind to me. And that seems to be lining up pretty well. If you haven't seen images of this, and I believe it is, I didn't see a pronunciation. Yes, I know it's pronunciation of this Haboob, but it's this giant dust cloud that went across the middle, the Midwest. And it was, I think the winds were 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. I don't know if you've ever seen any documentaries about the Dust Bowl days. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you think you got hard living right now, you go back and take a look at some of these people who survived the Dust Bowl. You know, houses were not constructed, particularly on the plains, the way that they're constructed now. And so basically every day you just have like half an inch of dust and dirt in your house. No Oreck vacuum cleaners to clean up with. People are sweeping the dust out of their house. I don't know if you've ever swept a really dusty area. It's a little counterproductive. As soon as you sweep dust, it goes into the air, and most of it resettles right back down on the ground. Anyway, pretty horrific things. But now we've got a dust bowl as well. We've got drought, dust bowl, tanking stock market. Jim Cramer said we might be going towards the roaring 20s a couple of months ago. Now it looks to me like we're headed into the 1930s, dust storm and all. Jim Cramer, one of my favorite targets here on this show. And as I say, he really opened himself up when he suggested that the military should go around forcibly injecting everybody with the COVID vaccine. That's when I wasn't a fan of his in the first place. I knew what disastrous financial advice he's given to his viewers. But when he said that, it was gloves off when it comes to Jim Cramer. There's a thread, I believe, it might be on Reddit, where they recommend they do the inverse Jim Cramer fund, where any stock picks that Jim Cramer gets, people short, or if he suggests that a stock is not going to do well, you buy it and hold it long. It's outperformed the S&P by 30%. So if you do exactly the opposite of what Jim Cramer says, the returns are pretty stellar. I wanted to get into this. I think it's a bit of a white pill. I do not do the I hate somebody else of the same basic standing of me, us in the bottom 99.9%. I don't care how you voted. I don't care what your views on it, on most things are. Now, there are certain people you cannot talk to. We know this. I don't know what percentage of the people there are. That it may be 20% of people you just cannot talk to about things. They're not open. They don't listen. They don't process information. They regurgitate talking points. We know these people. They're on the right and the left. So some people you just cannot talk to. But there is a wide swath of people that are much more sane than they're being cast, particularly on the left and in the Democratic Party. This is why I don't hate on those people. A lot of the people that I know and like the best are very liberal, have voted Democratic, and I'll argue with them up and down about economics. Sometimes I'll win them over. Sometimes they don't want to hear it, and then we part ways. We still go out and have a beer, and we talk about mutual friends and old times or whatever, and we get on with our lives. I don't do lateral hate on this show. I point out the insanity of what's going on the left continually. But I think that's a fairly small sliver, and my point being that if you want to get your country back, you know, there's populist movements around the world because they realize that their governments have just sold out the people. And so there are these populist movements. If you want to have a truly successful populist movement, I hate to tell you, people on the right, you need some more people. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not really working right now. It's just we're circling the drain as it stands. So I stumbled across this. I was looking at some economic stuff on Twitter, and I stumbled across this thread. And I'm going to read the original tweet, and then I'm going to read you some replies to it that just show you that it may take a little bit of patience. We're not good with patience. You know, people want the government, even conservatives. I'm for small, limited government. I want the government to leave me alone, but I want them to break up Facebook because you just don't have any patience. As a matter of fact, most of the people who say that the government should break up Facebook are people that are constantly posting on anyone, Facebook. They are making Facebook stronger while demanding that the government come in and rescue them from the platform that they post to. It's kind of bizarre, but that's what we are. But it does take a little bit of patience. But I just thought this was interesting. I think this is a little bit of white pill good news. And I mean, I'm probably not accused of doing a whole lot of that. So I thought I'd do it here. This is Jenin Younes, Younes, first name Jenin, Jenin Younes. She said, I'm far from being right wing, and I disagree with much of what would be considered the philosophy underlying conservatism. But no Republican has made me feel as gaslit as the left today, a trend that has been escalating for around a decade. And I'm going to read you her whole thread here. She says, I am supposed to believe and repeat things that are obvious untruths, like there's no such thing as biological sex. There's no difference between being a woman and a trans woman. It's healthy to be obese. And mask work to prevent spread of respiratory viruses. In this ideological realm, I was also not permitted to question or discuss things that ought to be part of contemporary discourse. Is it a good idea to give children surgery and hormones because they believe they're a different gender? Should we expel men from college and sentence them to prison based on shaky allegations? Should we give preference to people in hiring because they are not white? Is it a good idea to cease the functions of our society in an attempt to control a respiratory virus when that has never been shown to work before? And she finishes, she said, these are all questions I ask when I still considered myself a member of the left, and I was slandered, vilified, and eventually discarded. I am grateful in the end, though, because spending time around these people was oppressive, exhausting, and torturous. So you see, this has been my point on this show for quite a while. There's a lot of people on the left who look around and they say, what is going on here? This is insane. But instead, the right casts everybody who voted for Joe Biden. And believe me, that's mystifying to me, too. But I understand the hatred of Donald Trump. Nobody voted for Joe Biden. They voted anti-Trump. You could have put a potted plant up against Donald Trump and he would have gotten 30 million votes of 30 million people who were just deranged in their hatred for him. So because somebody voted against Donald Trump or votes against what is a corrupt Republican Party that has led us to endless wars and the drug war, and there's a whole lot of things that right and the Republican Party is wrong on too, does not mean that the people on the left are insane, but they're starting to notice the insanity on their own side. You should be welcoming these people with open arms. I've got some replies here too. I'll tell you what, I'll take a break and then I'll come back to them, because the list is actually longer than I thought as I was looking at my notes earlier. Yeah, there's a lot of them here. And this is what I think is white pill. You'll understand if we just have a little bit of patience and be a little gracious I don't agree with your vote for Joe Biden, but we can all agree we've been sold out, right? Oh, you'll get some fellow travelers there. We can all agree that some of this stuff is insane. Yeah, you'll get some positive replies that way too. So the left is losing a ton of their people. The more radical they become, see, we like to think that when Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden or AOC or any of these nut jobs in the media profess these things and they are representatives of the left, we like to look at it as, oh my gosh, every Democrat now believes that there is no difference between a man and a woman. You know, I've encouraged the Madison moms to really try to reach out and get people who are not considering themselves MAGA patriots. It's not really popular when I bring that up, I don't think, because I know there's a lot of ideas that the stuff that's coming at the schools that they're fighting in the school board meetings is coming from the left. But there are a lot of good thinking parents out there that may not be fans of Donald Trump, that may have voted Democrat their whole life, but they don't want that perversion on the bookshelves of their libraries either. And I think there's strength in numbers, and it's also probably a way to meet some other decent human beings. Disagree with them on some political stuff. Who cares? Fighting over these politicians is just insane. Anyway, I'll take a break. I'm going to play some, or not play, but I'm going to read off some of these replies, and you'll just see this is Democrat after Democrat, liberal after liberal that has finally just come to the conclusion. It's not finally, really. They just had a platform here to say it, but they've noticed for the last 10 years that the left has taken this hard, bizarre, insane turn, and they're leaving in droves. You should accept them with open arms. I'll be right back.
Menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
All right, I'm going to get in here. This is my white pill moment. This is a cause for optimism to show you that people on the left are there, you know, people who vote Democrat or would be considered left or liberals are not down with all of the craziness that is coming out of the Democratic Party and what is shown to be the left, just the abject insanity of their positions on so many different things. I'm on Twitter, though, and I can't help but do this. I mean, this is what I do. You know, some people may not like it, but I'm fine with that. Representative Paul Gosar, he's a Republican. He's just got a tweet. I just ran across it because it's sitting now. I've got Twitter open up in front of me. He says, when we take power, and we will, never forget how these monsters treated the January 6th political prisoners. And I totally agree with him. What's happened to the January 6th protesters is absolutely disgusting. But it's just, that's what government does. I would ask Representative Paul Gosar, when you take power, and you will, try to remember the way your side has treated Julian Assange for being a publisher of truth that embarrassed the U.S. and other Western governments. Listen to the story about the woman I just played who had her house taken away from her. For $900, she lost $200,000+ as the government came in and seized her house. All my sympathies are with the January 6th protesters. It's absolutely insane the way they've been treated. It seems unconstitutional, and they are political prisoners here in the United States. There's no doubt about that. But let's not pretend that it's only one side, that when the Republicans ride to the rescue and control the government, that everybody's set free and we're all free to live our lives and protest. Now, Julian Assange has been slow-killed in a prison under the thumb of Mike Pompeo, and he's going to be running for the nomination for the president of the United States as a Republican. So I'm just saying, it is the power of the government that is the problem. It's just who's in charge of it and what atrocity targets which people is really the only difference between the two parties. Anyway, here's a response to this girl saying, look, I've been on the left. I'm not down with a bunch of conservative ideas, but I've never seen anything like what I've been seeing on the left for the last 10 years. And so there are a bunch of responses to this, and I copied and pasted some of them. This is Laura. She says, 2020 helped me see one thing very clearly about the left. They're largely only concerned with believing they're righteous, and they'll steamroll anything that stands in the path of that delusion. Reaching across the aisle has shown me what a toxic hellhole the left has become. The way I took that was that this woman is, you know, she's tried to kind of make some overtures towards people that have not lost their mind, and the left just tried to destroy her. She said, I genuinely feel like a weight has been lifted off my chest by not adhering to any political party and not caring what anybody thinks about me. The freedom of knowing I don't have to kowtow to every new, absurd, pointless issue that occupy the minds of the left as the ship sinks. So see, these are people from the left that are, they're not down with this stuff. But we cast them all as we want to squeeze out as many liberal tears as we can. I think you're really what is the percentage of people that have truly lost their mind in this country? It could be higher than I'm thinking. Could it possibly be 20% of people really don't believe there's a difference between a boy and a girl when they're born? That's possible. 20%. That seems high to me. It's probably 3%. It's just magnified through the media to make us think that everybody on that side, the same way they're going to use this shooter, they're going to take him and try to cast everybody on the right as some kind of a white supremacist. Now, this kid was not on the right. The people are pointing out that he hated Fox News and some Republican Ben Shapiro types. But they're going to cast this as a white supremacist thing. One guy acts out in Buffalo, I believe probably under the influence of psychotropic drugs, but it has yet to be proven. That is just a theory I'm working with because it's almost always true. But they're going to cast this as all white people are just white supremacists. This is what they do. They amplify anything to divide us. Catherine wrote in this Twitter feed. Well, this is somebody from the right. She said, and yet you seem to believe conservatism is bad. My guess is you believe the stereotypes the left uses to label the right without actually knowing accurate specifics. Now, there are some people on the right here. They don't have a whole lot of grace in somebody from the left saying, I'm done with the left. This was somebody from Just Medical Freedom. They said some Schellenberger MD in California represents this new category of middle voter, not comfortable with either party. Remains to be seen how far he'll go. I think there's a lot of Democrats who feel like you do, but don't vocalize. Gordon's Alive says, as usual, you hit the nail on the head. I'm Roe pro-choice, anti-death penalty, in favor of same-sex marriage. I'm vilified by both sides because I identify as more of a law and order conservative, and I really don't care. Come at me. I've never been scared of anyone. Here's one that says, as a reformed liberal, I can tell you that the left is completely illiberal. It is now looking more like a monolith of cultural authoritarianism. While you do run into bad ideas on the right, it's the only place where there's debate. Do you want to be where there's debate or none? This is someone named Moss. You know, this is the kind of the toxic part of Twitter to me. It says, I'm curious what you considered philosophy underlying conservatism is. Perhaps you're also gaslighting. Conservatism is smaller government, power to the people, states' rights, personal accountability, lower taxes. I wish I could say lower spending, but I'm thinking they let that go. And so in response to that, someone says, she's not gaslighting. As a conservative lesbian, I've been denied the right to marry in the past, and I watch with great interest to see what will happen next in the Supreme Court. Conservatives have their hypocrisy, too. And this goes on and on and on. Let me see if I can find any other ones. I clipped a whole bunch of them because this was just, I thought, a very interesting exchange. Here's one from Puppy Love. Democrat my entire adult life. Change party to independent. I still agree with some liberal policies, but lean conservative now. For me, the Democratic Party has lost all common sense. There is no debate. Read the actual abortion bill from Congress. It's like the Twilight Zone. Even climate change is why we need abortion on demand. She's pointing out that I guess somewhere in this ridiculous bill the Democrats just tried to pass that was wouldn't refer to women or females in an abortion bill. They called them persons. And I guess they have tied climate change to the reason we need to kill babies. So these things are happening on the left right now. As I say, this is what I believe should be cause for people to just pause for a second and say, maybe I shouldn't judge everybody just by the way they voted that time or if they disagree with me on this or that. Can we just agree on a level of sanity? And I would imagine that you probably get about 80% of the people could say, okay, well, you know, none of us are down with some of this stuff. Now, the fact it still comes out in schools is because of those individuals in schools. And then it gets highlighted and it gets cast as it's everybody on that side. Look, the same thing happens to Republicans. You have one nut job shooter, they're going to cast all Republicans as full of hate and racist and all this other stuff. They do these things to both sides. There was an interesting, within this tweet thing, there was an interesting cartoon. And there's a bunch of people standing outside of a castle where the king and one of his advisors are sitting on the balcony. Everyone out there has got torches and pitchforks, which I'm big fans of. I came into the studio today or into the offices of the radio station today. There's some big metal contraption back in the office area. I think it looks like maybe it's some kind of a computer rack or something. Just a big, tall rectangle. But when I looked at it, and I texted all my fellow hosts, and I said, I'm not sure what this thing is in the studio, but it looks like it could be possibly, is this a prototype for a guillotine that we're going to mass produce so that we can take care of the political class in this country? Because if so, I'm all in. It kind of had a guillotine look to it. So I got kind of excited. I doubt that's what it is. Don't send the feds to the office here. But anyway, there's this cartoon, and the advisor says to the king as he's facing out over this huge crowd of people with torches and pitchforks, he says, oh, you don't need to fight them. You just need to convince the pitchfork people that the torch people want to take away their pitchforks. That's exactly right. You just take this crowd, everybody's disaffected, everybody's angry, and you just pit them against each other, then the king doesn't have to actually fight them. A couple of other responses in here. Now, there are some just dyed-in-the-wool Republicans in here just trying to call this person out, telling them, well, you've been so totally wrong all along. This is just, it's just toxic way of interacting with people. He said, this guy, there's always one of these guys. His handle on Twitter is Jerkstore. That's a Jerkstore, and in parentheses is Ass-tastic. So the guy's pretty much announcing he's not really a mental giant here. He said, you can leave out your first sentence out. It makes you look weak and trying to play both sides of the fence. On that note, please list out the things you disagree with from the right. No rhino BS either. And then list out the things you agree with from the left. It'll open your eyes and everyone's eyes to where you personally truly stand. Also, we can figure out if you live in the land of make-believe or reality. For instance, what should our southern border policy be? Your answer to that will speak volumes. This guy wants to do this. Is somebody on the left just going, look, I am leaving the left. They've lost their ever-loving mind. You've got this guy, Jerkstore, appropriately titled. He wants her to state all of her positions so he can point out, I got to find out if you're living in fantasy land or if there's, you know, wants to give her some kind of a right-wing litmus test. The woman is just saying, look, I'm a liberal, but I can't abide by all of this stuff. I'm done with the Democratic Party. I'm done with the authoritarian left. This Jerkstore guy, literal Jerkstore, according to his own. And his at is greatest ever MD. This guy may be a medical doctor. That would also not surprise me. But he's going to hold her to some level of a litmus test because there is no grace when somebody wants to take off the shackles of the insane left and move over. No, it's not enough. We need a litmus test for you. And what happens is these kinds of people then further radicalize people on the left and keep us warring with each other. I know I talk about this a lot. It's just so frustrating to watch as an observer. Because as I keep saying, you guys are all getting screwed by the same people. These houses being taken. The inflation, the baby formula shortage. And I don't think we've seen anything yet. I'm predicting some pretty tough times coming ahead. And the people that should be held accountable for this are not, because these nut jobs are on Twitter screaming at each other, at each other. None of these people on Twitter have an ounce of power. Not one of them. The people in power, just like this cartoon says, you just tell the pitchfork people that the torch people want to take away their pitchforks, and they'll just fight each other. You don't have to do a thing. You just sit up here in the castle and enjoy the luxury. That is so accurate. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, a different kind of talk show on conservative radio. It may sound like I'm like somehow carrying water for the left. I'm not. I'm carrying water for some of the individuals who are thinking people on the left and saying the right needs to kind of embrace them. But the right's catching on, too. This is beautiful, too. This is in this Twitter thread, and I'm about to move on to something else. But there were a couple other tweets that were in this that I loved. Somebody replied to this leftist who's saying, I'm leaving the left because they've just gone absolutely insane. They won't allow me to dissent on anything before they just attack me and slander me. I'm done with them. I think that's great news. I'm sure it's happening across the country. Somebody from the right replied to this tweet. He said, constitutional conservative here. I'm a registered Republican because there really are no other choices with only two parties. That's such a shame. That's what everybody thinks. And it's basically true. They've got a monopoly. They've done a great job of concentrating power within these two parties, even though there's, I think there's like 11 parties, 12 parties, something like, maybe more than that, and some real fringe parties there, but there are more parties than that. But this person, this cat, goes on to say, both parties are filled with corrupt bureaucrats who just want power. They are two sides of the same coin. Tennis Lady 82 responded, same. I feel politically homeless with the way the GOP is acting. And I just love that. The fact that the right is waking up to the Republican. There's a video of Mitch McConnell and Susan Collins and a couple other Republicans going over and walking across a deserted town square to meet up with Zelensky to hand off the $40 billion of U.S. taxpayer dollars to him. It is just disgusting to see. They all come together, big smiles and handshakes. Zelensky welcomes him in his green T-shirt. He's such a fighter. And these Republicans are going over there to hand him over all this taxpayer money. And last tweet here was from somebody that I know I would like. Mr. End the Fed 2022 said the modern disaffected liberals must join with the disaffected conservatives and people outside the two-party system, especially libertarians, to break the back of the Washington consensus on everything. That's right. See, libertarians don't really seek to change you. Maybe that's why I'm in a different position than most conservatives. I don't want to change anybody. I've never had to try to convince somebody to become a Trump supporter or a Republican, not for 15 years, 17 years now, probably. I don't have that hamster. So I can talk to anybody about anything because I'm not trying to convince them to do a 180 and accept Donald Trump as their Lord and Savior because he ain't mine. So you can have all kinds of different views that you want as long as you just leave me alone. Don't impose your views on me. I don't impose my views on you. We just all live happily ever after. We go out and we have a beer. You got no power over me. I got no power over you. You don't elect people that have power over me. I don't elect people that have power over you. That would be the libertarian system. And the other thing, too, I just go and kind of tuck this clip in here because it really is funny. Here's another thing about the left you need to understand. They can't stand Joe Biden or Kamala Harris either. Now, they say Joe Biden's got approval ratings somehow in the 30s. 34% might have been the last thing that I saw. I highly doubt that with the inflation that's going on, the baby formula. There's probably a lot of moms that are not real happy with the president right now. Of course, I will tell you, Joe Biden is absolutely horrible. It's not entirely his fault. This mess has been made over generations in this country, and particularly in the last 12 to 13 years of endless money printing. All presidents for the last 30 years have been involved in this inflationary nightmare we've seen, and the Donald Trump and Joe Biden are especially guilty in what they've done to supply chains with shutting down our economy and making us all freak out over COVID. But they don't like Joe Biden. Left doesn't like Joe Biden. Vast majority of Democrats don't like Joe Biden. They just might think he's better than Republicans. But one person that I think we can all agree to really have a great deal of disgust for is Kamala Harris. Nobody seems to like this woman. I think her popularity is lower than Joe Biden's, maybe down into the teens somehow. And I just bring it up because I ran across this clip. You know, it's bad enough Kamala Harris it's just a completely empty mind. She's an empty suit. She really is just ridiculous in her lack of any intellect whatsoever. Everybody's got their suspicions on how she arrived at her perch. Maybe having, I won't get into it. It's a family show, but she kind of slept her way to the top. But it's really quite amazing that she is as empty as she is, but apparently she can't even get a decent speechwriter. This is just the patented Kamala Harris style of a bunch of words to say absolutely nothing. And she just, you know, Trump drove me crazy. Because he has such a limited vocabulary and he would repeat things usually 3 to 4 times. Sometimes he would just kind of slightly change the words to say the same thing over and over. But usually there was some substance to at least what he was talking about. Kamala Harris, you can't even figure out what she's talking about. I could give you the context of what she's talking about, but it wouldn't even matter. Listen to this and think about the fact that somebody wrote this for her. She's ad-libbing a little bit, which she really doesn't need to do. She's not equipped to say anything straight out of what supposedly is a brain inside her head. But somebody wrote a lot of this for her.
That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together. That is
so I guess we're doing something together with the consensus that we will work together and continue working together to work together towards working together. I got to tell you, that makes me feel better, doesn't it? It's good to know that we've got a guy who is at death's door at the presidency, and this is the person on deck. Oh, that is some terrifying, terrifying thoughts. I'll be right back. All right, final segment for the day. Last tweet I'm going to read, but it was just interesting. It's kind of wasn't even in the thread that I was reading with the people on the left abandoning the left, people on the right abandoning the Republican Party. Beautiful thing to see on both sides. Justin Amash had tweeted out, separated from all this, he said, there are people on this site, he was talking about Twitter, on the left and right, who routinely advocate for authoritarianism and seem wholly unaware they are doing so. Man, is that true? And I was going to do a segment here. I started taking some notes, and it looks like I just stopped. I may do it, save it for another. Are you an authoritarian? That's the question, because I see a lot of authoritarians out there, and they just don't realize. They can see the authoritarianism on the other side. It's kind of like the left calling Donald Trump a fascist and then ushering in a Joe Biden supporting a CDC that stops people from evicting, you know, small tenants, small landlords from evicting tenants. You see the corporate growth during the Obama and the Biden administrations, all the money filtering to the top, but they can only see that they think Trump is a fascist, and the same as on the right. You can always see the authoritarianism on the left. Yet we've got a Back the Blue movement, and I'm fully in support of all of the heroic work that the police do every single day. Police are doing heroic things, but they also do some pretty terrible things on a daily basis, too, to raise revenue and boss us around. We've all got authoritarian streaks, I guess. Maybe I'm missing that. Yeah, I don't think I really want to. I think I really want to control anybody to do anything. I'll talk some sense into them. But anyway, it's true. I want to finish up on this stuff because I ran across a couple of headlines that, you know, don't seem to be covered from what seems to me to be kind of a common sense narrative. This was a headline that was on CNBC. A severe pilot shortage in the U.S. leaves airlines scrambling for solutions. The sub-headlines, their little bullet points that they do on CNBC, says the pandemic exacerbated a pilot shortage by slowing down training, hiring, and creating a wave of early retirements. Airlines offered pilots early retirement to cut labor bills during the depths of the pandemic. The process to become airline qualified in the U.S. is lengthy and expensive, making the barrier to entry high. What they don't talk about at all is the fact that these ridiculous vaccine mandates is part of the reason for all of these early retirements that a lot of these pilots took. I looked through this whole CNBC article. They didn't mention it a single time. I did find an interview that was done on NPR. Tager, T-A-G-E-R, is a spokesman for American's pilot union, but he's one of about 10,000 American airline pilots who are fully vaccinated. But this is what he said. Some of our pilots, we have about 4,000, are holding off on it because many are concerned about long-term effects of the vaccine. And we've heard problems with pilots having problems mid-air, pilots that are no longer. There was one here in Mississippi that got some coverage that is no longer going to be able to fly because he suffered a side effect from this vaccine. But that's 4,000 pilots that were not going to take the jab. And yet CNBC can do an entire article just blaming the pandemic. And it has nothing to do, of course, with the pandemic. It was with the pandemic restrictions that slowed down training, hiring, and creating a wave of early retirement. It's all about pandemic policy, not the disease itself. COVID didn't kill a bunch of airline pilots. So we've got this huge shortage. I ran across this story as well. So kind of the same thing. And, you know, we're the ones, of course, that are paying the price for this, right? You can see airline tickets are going to go up. They're going to be cancellations, got long waits, constant cancellations. I haven't seen stories about them in the past few weeks, but there's been weekends where they've canceled 1,400, 2,200 flights just in a weekend because they're short on pilots. This was a story on Bloomberg. Burnt-out nurses push back as staff shortages strain hospitals. Fallout from the nursing shortage that's plaguing U.S. hospitals got so bad that 16% of the nurses at one Western Pennsylvania facility left last year. And 220 of those remaining staged a five-day walkout that halted elective surgery. Sandra Harrison, an operating room nurse who spent her 39-year career at ACMH Hospital, teared up as she recounted working without even a lunch break and years of missed family and events. Her colleague, Stephanie Barrett, is exhausted from doing two, three, and sometimes four jobs at a time. Quote, I think pretty much almost everybody has considered, if not leaving healthcare altogether, taking a different path in nursing. I don't know anybody who hasn't. The nurses said during the March walkout they're tired of caring for too many patients in 160 beds with too few people. About 5,000 nurses in Palo Alto, California, won a new contract after going on strike last month, citing similar complaints. Again, this is another industry, just like the pilots, with the airlines that went full-on authoritarian and tried to force their pilots for a period of time. I'm not sure if those mandates are still in place for all the airline pilots or not, but they tried to force them into these shots, and they left by the thousands. And now we just can't figure out. It must just be training. It's just so hard to get training done. Well, you kicked out thousands of pilots, and now you can't quite figure out. Well, we can't really. Why don't you just have not done that in the first place? Same thing with nursing. And this whole article goes down into the fact that mortality is affected. More people are going to die in hospitals because of this nursing shortage. Again, this was created by anyone, your medical establishment, that went absolutely insane over vaccine mandates and COVID in general. They made people sicker by delaying treatments because of this 99.9% survivable disease. They pushed people back. We've got people with problems with addiction. We got suicides. We are paying the price for all of these COVID policies. The hits just keep on coming. Now we've got nurses across the country that just can't handle the workload. And if the numbers are correct on this 40% increase in mortality of working-aged adults, I would imagine the hospitals are busier than ever. So this is just a recipe for the perfect storm in healthcare. Force a bunch of nurses out with draconian, Orwellian policies of forcing them to take part in an experiment. They leave, and then you cry about the fact we don't have enough nurses. Nurses are also now dealing with the consequence of shutting down for a year, 18 months, and forcing people who were sick before the pandemic to be even sicker now because they denied them treatment along the way. I mean, these mistakes just compound on themselves, but I would imagine that the main thrust of these things are these vaccine mandates that had nurses walking away. That and the ridiculous working conditions they were under. It's got to be pretty taxing on a nurse to be with a patient, watching them die alone because your hospital will not allow a family member to come in and visit them. You have to hold up some iPad so they can have some kind of a Zoom call with their family as they pass away in bed, all alone with nobody that they know or love anywhere around them. I can imagine that was horrific for nurses, but don't look to anything other than your administrators and your medical establishment that went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over COVID. And it's going to be the patients. This is why I try to tell you every Wednesday, you need to escape the medical system because it's not prepared to handle you and your new diseases. You are not going to find a capable, fully functioning system should you succumb to some illness. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They were asking me about emergency food stocks. Where did I get my emergency food? I've got, I think, about 6 months worth of food. A little bit shorter than that if my kids were to come home and piggyback on my emergency food rations. Not seeming so crazy now, is it? I don't think I have any baby formula in there. I bought it after my kids were no longer babies, but doesn't seem quite so crazy to have 6 months worth of freeze-dried food available to myself now. But I was talking to someone and I said, you need to look for stuff that's organic and non-GMO. Don't get bad quality freeze-dried food because the last thing you want in a true blank hits the fan scenario is to be sick. You better keep your health in check, because the medical system right now is fragile and really pretty badly broken, not to mention the brokenness of it, of decades of being the main cause of bankruptcy in this country as they've run costs up. But if we really have a true meltdown, the last thing you want is to be having to find pharmaceuticals and find a capable hospital to take care of your conditions. It is time to take control of your health right now. You know, people say, oh, you talk about all these bad things, particularly me, as I narrate the financial collapse I think we're on the precipice of, but you don't give us any solutions. Well, there's one right there. Don't you take control of your own health? You can save a bunch of money on pharmaceuticals, on doctor visits, just by changing your diet, eating some decent food for a change, shocking your body back into health, giving it what it needs. There's a solution right there. Of course, that requires a little bit of effort from people. They really would prefer a pill than actually taking responsibility. But anyway, you know, they have broken everything. I keep saying it over and over again. It's just amazing to me that the headlines just keep on coming. And even these nurses, they appear to be asking for government help with all of these things. And just like every other group, they don't realize it was the government largely, that caused this entire mess that they find themselves in anyway. Oh, well. Live to fight another day. See you tomorrow.
No matter Bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how